Okay, well, it sure is good to be back. Yes. That's for sure. It almost feels like I got a little echo effect going on back here, too. Well, we're going to go to the book of Psalms today. Jump back into it. I've got 5 Sundays this month. I counted them. So we'll be jumping back into it just like it never stopped. I think I had 5 Sundays last time, too. I just missed out on one. I want to say it's the way it happened.
I was confused about
the last Sunday. It was the way it jumped around. We're going to go to Psalms number chapter 27. And we're going to talk about something that's been on my mind a whole lot. And something that's been practiced even more a whole lot here lately, especially. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to Psalm 27, starting in verse 11. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And one thing that we're all exercising a whole lot of the past couple months, and over the past year as a church, is the subject of waiting. There's one thing that's particularly hard to do is to wait. You know, when it does take forever to make a decision, especially myself. I take forever to make decisions, whether it's buying a car, buying a house, or going to the grocery store. I don't know. Figuring out what I want for dinner. That's just a time-consuming decision. It just takes forever. So, you know, waiting and decision-making are two totally different things. You know, it can take you forever to want to go buy a car, but the decision to make it takes longer. But waiting for it to happen is a whole other realm of possibility. Because once you're ready, then you still have to wait for everything to go through. It's a long process. So what we're talking about today is not the decision-making process, it's the process of waiting. You know, when it comes to stuff like that, and the difference is, the biggest difference between decision-making and waiting is that when you're decision-making, there's a bee in your bonnet. You're looking for something, you know what you want to do, you're figuring out what you want to do, and you're on your own time when you're doing this decision-making. This waiting that David's talking about right here has nothing to do with that first part of decision-making, where it's on your time, you're deciding what you want to do, figuring out what's going on. This is where you've decided what you want to do, this is what you want to do, but it's not possible to do. And it will not be possible to do. You know, this time in our lives, especially as a church, this is a very relevant thing, and it's been on my mind a lot. And there's a couple things we need to look at here when thinking about it. First of all, the word wait is mentioned not once, but twice in this one verse. And it's probably the shortest verse out of all that we read this morning. So the word wait, when you think of that, what's the first thing you think about?
Sitting down.
But is that what it's really about? Everyone thinks of that. You know, I tell the kids all the time, sit down and wait here. And so from your time you're a child, about that big, you know that waiting means you're sitting down somewhere. It's boring. Waiting is very boring. If you look this word up in the dictionary, however, you'll see before the definition is even given, waiting is not something that's a noun, it's a verb. Wait is defined as a verb. And that's very interesting in the context of what we're talking about. You see, you can Google verb and you know it's an action. It's something that you're doing. And what you're doing is not sitting down. Sitting down is what you're told to do, and to wait is what you're doing. And we'll get into that a little more. You know, why don't you just tell your kids to wait? Why don't you just say, okay, wait, and walk away? It's because there are things they can do while they're waiting that you may rather them not do. There are things to pilfer in. There's things to knock over. There's eyes to be poked at. I mean, whatever you want to say, there's stuff they can do when you just say, okay, wait, and you walk away. There's no instruction there. They are, technically, yeah, they're waiting, but there's plenty that they're doing of their own mind that they're doing while they're waiting. You know, relating back to our lives, how much weight do we have on our plate? In everything we do, I feel like we call it roadblocks. Every time we turn to do something, there's a roadblock. There's a yes, there's a no, there's a well, you got to do this first. There's something you have to do. There's hoops you have to jump through before you can get it done. There's a lot of weight on your plate to get to that goal. How much do you have to wait for? You know, right now in the short term, especially as a church, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for land to come up. We're waiting for the opportunity to buy some land. We're waiting on the opportunity to sell this if we can. There's a lot that we're waiting on right now. But how good is it if we just sit and wait? How much good are we truly doing if we do, like we tell our kids, to sit down and wait? That is probably the worst thing you can do for your prayer life, is to sit and wait. Waiting is good. There's plenty to be said in the Bible about waiting, just like here. Twice, wait, I say, on the Lord. But it doesn't say sit and wait. It doesn't say twiddle your thumbs and wait. Well, I always tell the kids, sit here, sit on your hands, and wait for me to come back. There's two instructions there that are very specific that I want them to do while they're waiting, because I don't want them messing with each other or getting into something while I'm trying to do something in the next room. Sit on your hands and wait. That's not something that the Lord told us to do. In the short term, again, we're waiting on to build a church. But right now we have to bide our time while we wait on the Lord. But does that mean we sit here and wait? It's just like if we were to stop having church until we had a building. That's sitting and waiting, but it's not doing any good. Are you really waiting on the Lord if you're not following His instructions that were given to you while you're waiting?
Right.
This Bible is full of instruction that was given to us before He went away, because He did not say, sit and wait. And this applies to all points in our jobs. You know, you wait for raises and promotions, you wait till payday. And in the long term, we are waiting for Christ's return. And you may say that's kind of a wide swath you've thrown out there for waiting, but it's really not. It's a narrow, everything about the Bible is like a narrow field. It's an arrow. It's not a three-way street. So when you look at this position on waiting, they're not stationary positions. You have to do something while you're waiting. David in this psalm isn't conveying the thought of sitting and waiting on God. He's simply reminding us that there can be a length of time it takes for His will to happen. And sometimes that length of time is to clear your vision and not God's. Because a lot of times when you're waiting on something, you're waiting on something that you've asked for. You're waiting on something that you want in your life, that you've convinced yourself will make it better. But in the long run, it's something that you've decided you wanted, and it's not what God has for your life. If it's decided that we don't need to build over here and we need to build elsewhere, we're going to be waiting longer until that vision becomes clear in our minds, not that it comes clear in God's mind. Because God knows what He has for us right now. It's not like a union where we go on strike until we get what we want. You know, it's an exciting time right now in the church because God is moving. We do have progress being made. We've got step one done, and right now we are waiting. But what do we do while we wait? There are things God commanded the church to do while we wait, and I believe we're doing them. And if we continue in that way and continue seeking what God wants for us, then our church will move even further. However, we have to wait in the correct way. You know, we've dropped a few lines and explored, but nothing's come of that, but that's okay. Because the church isn't about finding a new building to meet in or building a new building to meet in. It's about our advances for the kingdom of God and what we're doing for that every single day, individually and as a church.
Yes, amen. That's right.
So right now, I feel like we're in a stage of hurry up and wait. But do we understand what that means? I tell my customers that a lot, especially when they have less than perfect history, is that it's a hurry up and wait process. You give a little, I give a little, we got to get together and get this done. But it's not. I tell them Rome wasn't built in a day and neither was a car deal. And so sometimes it's like that. And a lot of times life is like that. Rome was not built in a day. But neither was good sense. There's a lot of things that take time to build. Wisdom. Knowledge. Understanding. All that takes time to build. Time and focused time, I should say, on what we should be learning about. So here we are, hurry up and waiting on God, but not sitting, standing, walking, advancing every day. Not idle, but working until we're being productive. You know, you wait on the Lord not wait until the Lord answers to move.
Yeah.
Because we move every day. We have to move every day. If you are not moving every day, you're not making advancements. So you're waiting on the Lord to answer that in particular, but He shows the way, and then you walk in it. But He shows every day the way you should go. The Lord never stops advancing. You do. Waiting has nothing to do with stopping. Has nothing to do with sitting. Nothing to do with standing idle. Because idle hands do the devil's work.
Yeah.
So while you're waiting, learn. So what comes with waiting? When you think of wait, what's one attribute that you learn through waiting?
Patience.
There you go. Patience is an attribute only learned in a stage of wait. It's an attribute that does not come with advancing and making huge progress all at once. Because the dominoes are falling. Strike the iron while it's hot. Let's get this done now. No patience in that. Patience is as good as gold. That's an old saying that I've heard since I was about that tall. And it is. Because you learn the value of patience. You learn the value of the times it takes to learn it. That being said, I don't appreciate the times I have to learn patience sometimes. Because I'm not a very patient person. But when you think of wait and patience, there was a scripture popped into my mind, and I have it wrote down here. It's in James chapter 1, and it's verses 2 through 8. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men, to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Jumping back for a second, waiting comes with a lot of idle time if you misunderstood the meaning of waiting. I've heard a lot of subjects on waiting and how you wait for God to give you some sort of glider so that you can soar up with wings as eagles. And in that time of waiting, you're just waiting for God to snap his fingers and do something magically while you're standing there.
Yeah.
Too much time is spent standing. Again, idle hands do the devil's work. And that's what destroys most people. Because we have misunderstood waiting for so long as the same as standing or being idle. Or waiting on God to do something great in our country before we can do this over here. Or waiting for Him to grow the church before we do this over here. When in fact, when we do those things, or when we focus on waiting on God too severely to the point where we're not doing anything, there is no advancement being made and there is no progress being made. And if there's no progress in your own life, how can there be progress in a church as a whole? It's not His job to come here and teach us about the Bible so that we can grow personally. It's part of it, but it's not His exclusive duty. It is our personal responsibility to maintain our knowledge and relationship with God every day, to keep our walk straight, because He doesn't preach at us every day. We preach at us every day. And who is telling you about the Bible? What Bible are you getting if not from yourself? So don't be idle. Working while you wait does alleviate the quote-unquote problem that you're waiting. We always say every day that, hey, it was busy today, but the day sure flew by. You stayed focused, you stayed positive, because you were working. Of course, I've also had days where I said, I've worked all day, I've gotten nothing done. But you worked all day, and the time flies by. So that problem that you're waiting is no longer a problem because you don't feel like you're waiting. You don't feel like you're wasting time. You're not doing other things that don't need to be done while you're doing it. Because you're working while you're waiting. It's giving you something to do while you're at a quote-unquote standstill with God. Patience is the attribute that preserves your mind and allows you to gain from the experience of waiting.
Yep.
It's the attribute that's a true filter that filters through all the junk that waiting brings with it. When you stop water and leave it long enough, what's it do?
Stagnate.
It stinks. It rots. It molds. And many of the same attributes happen to churches that wait. There's nothing there to stir the water. There's no one there digging the trench to continue the flow. There's no one there refreshing the water every week. And it's because they're at a standstill. And someone there has convinced them that they can't go any farther until this need is met right here, right now. When in God's eyes, that need is not to be met for a good while longer in the future. So while you're waiting for that future need to be met, you're standing over here and you're not getting any closer over here. Because God's instructions tells you to go this way and not to worry what the future holds. God's instruction tells you to keep on keeping on and let God worry about the future. Work for God, worship God in the now, and the future will be taken care of. A waiting period from God is not something that is arbitrary or just because He feels like making you wait. We try our children usually by making them wait just to make them wait, just to teach them patience. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. There is always a reason that there is a waiting period. It's something that you will benefit from. So as long as you stay in the correct realm of thinking, it says right in the text that patience has a perfect work. It's not something that is just something there to make you a better person. Again, that patience is the filter in which everything in that waiting period has to go through. It's the remembrance. It's the knowing. It's the keep working attitude. See, patience isn't waiting. I had a kid tell me once, she was 3 years old, and her parents were trying to teach her to wait. And so she asked me one day, and I was out there playing with her, you know, and she said, "Yeah, you know what patience is?" I said, "Well, yeah, I think so. What is it?" She goes, "Well, patience is waiting." That's not entirely true. That's what we tell our children. And she lectured me about how patience was waiting, because it was probably something her mom had done the day before. However, patience is not waiting. Waiting is waiting. It's a verb. It's something you're doing. Patience is a noun. It's a person, place, thing, or idea. Totally different aspects. Patience is the idea that you know what you're waiting for, but you're going to continue working anyway. Patience is that you're not going to absolutely freak out if it doesn't happen right now. Again, it's an idea. It's the idea you're thinking about that you're willing to wait on because you know that it'll be worth it. The fruits of the Spirit include patience, long-suffering. So what makes us think that we can go through life and not have to learn it? Prosperity preaching has ruined us in the fact that there is no patience. Because if that preacher can have an Escalade in the private jet, why can't I? Well, because I paid for it. That's why. We've ingrained so much in the past 30 years that God is about you having your best life now that we've totally cut patience out of the equation. They still preach about the fruits of the Spirit, but not specifically, and there's a very good reason for that. Because then they'd have to wait longer for their Escalade and private jet. And who wants to do that? And you know, really, I've kind of debated about making this lesson about that perfect work. But the start of patience is the simple answer to wait. Because before that idea is planted, the verb is an action. It's a step-by-step and sometimes painful process, and there's not a skip button. The situation works patience, and patience works its perfect work. The situation is an action. You know that there's not an answer yet. You know what you have to do. But that attribute of patience makes it bearable. Where does patience drive you to? Somewhere who will teach you where and how to wait. And where do we learn where and how to wait correctly? It's not at the therapist's office. I'll just take that answer off the board. It's not there. It's not talking to your friends and getting advice on how to get this ball rolling quicker. Or you've done it before. What do you think? It's not where it goes. Correct wisdom. I mean, just look at the text. There it is right there. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask it of God. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You need to have patience. Without it, You are like a wave thrown and tossed, because when you're not waiting, you are looking for a way to make God's will happen. And if you find an alternative that would work for you, well, you just go that direction because it can happen quicker. And that is not patient. You're like somebody tossed by the rivers of water, left and right, or wherever the wind's going to blow you. Whatever works the fastest is where you're going. The path of least resistance is what you're taking. While you can probably roll down the hill and get to my house, patience tells you that a car is a lot safer and works out better in the long run when you have to go back up that hill. You reason. You're not hasty, if you will. The situation, again, works patience, which works its perfect work. It works wisdom in your mind, because you'll realize that you'll need it. And it'll work more faith, because, again, you'll realize that you need it. Because the goals that God puts in your heart are not always easy. The goals that God gives the church is not easy. We're not here for an easy life or an easy situation. You'll need both of these, because nothing can be worked if you don't believe that first God is moving in the times that you're in. If you don't believe that God's in, that we sold the church and that we're working towards a better building, and that just happened arbitrarily off the top of your head, you're in the wrong mindset. You're not even waiting. You're wanting to get this ball rolling. I mean, we all want this ball to get rolling. But what shows us that we need to wait to work a more perfect work in this church? Patience. And finally, whether you believe it or not, there is a perfect work to be worked. Hard as it is to believe, there is a work to be done for you and through you and for your benefit. And that's a benefit everyone else likes to talk about. The process of waiting is much like getting a stone out of your way. You know it needs to be moved. You know it can be moved. You know it will be moved. But you realize there's a lot of hard work and long days ahead before it'll get moved. And that it probably won't be easy. Patience is the attribute that lets you come to grips with this fact and still trust that it will be moved one day. And that regardless, you'll just keep working and chiseling away at it till the crane shows up. Because the work of God is not done in a day. It's done every hour as long as you're working. The hour you stop working is the hour God's work stops. Because God's work is done through man, through the church, through everyone here. But it's only done if we do the work. I've been in a lot of churches where it's always two or three people do all the work. I think that's every church I've been in, where everyone's there for the show and the rest of them are there to do the work. And then when those people either die off or move away, the work is stopped. Because no one was truly in it for the work. No one realized, or they realized it, but they didn't want to come to grips with it, that work was something that would have to happen to get this rolling. Just like Seth talked about a few months ago in the blacksmiths and the process of molding the tools of his trade, you have to be moldable and understand that these things are only malleable when under extreme heat for an extreme amount of time. And then you have to be willing to still take a beating. Because without heating up those tools, the hammer is useless. Without the time under that heat, it just makes sparks fly that quickly die out. And until that tool cools off, it is still malleable. But it's a more perfect work. It's something that can be used. And I'll tell you, the blacksmith tools will last 4 years. I found a head of a pickaxe sitting in my shed. Someone just stuck it in the wall there, and I can't tell you how old that thing was. But somebody took the time to heat it up, mold it, hammer it out, and then use it forever, stick it in the side of my shed, and now Seth's got it. And yeah, he's put a handle on it, and he's still using it.
Yep.
It's because someone took that time and understood that extreme heat for extreme amount of time, and then that same blacksmith had the skill to hammer it out and cure it. And it's good for years. If you're not willing to take that heat, take that beating, take that length of time it takes to be the tool you need to be, then you're not going to be worth it for years and years to come. Because, like it or not, we are tools in the hand of a mighty God. Yep. And He's the only one that knows how to mold it. But if you're not willing to be under that heat, then He can't use you. That blacksmith cannot use a piece of metal that will not heat up and stay heated up long enough for him to hammer it out. Be willing to go in and out of that fire several times to be sure that it is 100% ready for what it is going to be used for years to come. You have to be ready for what you're going to be used for years to come. This church can only last if we are ready for what is to come. There are a lot of people here that won't be here in 30 years. And there's probably people, young people here that won't be here in 30 years for different reasons. But if you purpose in your heart to take that heat, to be pliable, so that you can be used for years to come, as these men have been here, that's what we should be here for. That is a perfect work. It is a work that is never done, but that you're ready for. Think about miners who go down there with that pickaxe every day. I'm not sure if they still use pickaxes, but whatever. But they go down there and they chip away those rocks every day. Never really closer to what they were really doing, but it was the same pickaxe for years. The only thing that wore out was the handle. The actual tool lasted forever because it was ready. This work of God is never done either. And our tools should never wear out. It has to be an extended amount of time in order for it to be used for any good. Because, like it or not, the miners didn't always find gold every day. They went down there and kept working anyway. You had to be a good soldier. And sometimes the best soldier is one that can wait. And work while he waits. Understand that waiting is good for him. And using the best of his ability to wait profitably. Because you can wait profitably. You can learn while you wait as well. Work while you wait. Don't just sit and wait. Be more than children. Be men or women of God. Mature in patience and mature in waiting.